Today we'll begin the Midrash. This is going to be a long Midrash, the first one at the beginning of Shmos, and I don't think we'll be able to complete it, and tomorrow I won't be able to be here as well. I'm busy in other areas. Here, we'll have to go all the way to the end of the Midrash to know what the point is, but here the Midrash quotes the entire first Pasuk. Ve'ele shmos b'nei Yisrael haboyim Mitzrayma, and these are the names of the sons of Yisrael, of Yaakov or Yisrael, who are coming to Egypt. As it is now, the Haboim, other Mephoshim already speak about why it says that Haboim, that they are coming. But anyway, they were there already, but Es Yaakov, with Yaakov, Ishu Vesobo, each man and his family came. Then the Psukim count out and it enumerates the children of Yaakov. But it doesn't tell you all 70 people. Then later it sums up that all of the descendants of Yaakov were 70. But they weren't all enumerated the way they were in Parshas Vayigash. Now, so what is the significance? So we're going to have a Midrash that's going to give us a concept and carry it to other places throughout the Tanakh. And then at the end it will swing back to what's relevant to Shmos, as the Midrash very often does. But here it's going to be quite physically long-winded. It's going to be quite long. And we'll see how much we could learn. But it begins with the Pasuk, Hadohu Dichsiv. This Pasuk at the beginning of Shmos comes to teach us the following lesson. And that's why it's written. And it doesn't just say Yaakov Uvonov, it says Yaakov Ishuveso, which is different. Normally it would say, as it does in Parshas Vayigash, Yaakov Uvonov. So that's more or less the linguistic problems that the Midrash is going to be challenged with. So what is the Pasuk? A famous Pasuk in Proverbs in Mishlei about sparing the rod. Chosech Shifto Sone Beno. One who withholds his rod, meaning when his son needs to be disciplined, and one chooses not to discipline him, one holds back. That is not a sign of love, as many will think, oh, he loves his son too much, and therefore he's not going to beat him. No, obviously you can't do it out of anger. You have to know how to do it. But to not do it is no good. That's sone veno. That means he hates his child. Now, what does that mean? I don't know yet. I mean, what does it mean? Right now, when he's sparing the rod, that's a sign that he has hatred toward his son. Now, what are we defining as hatred? I don't know yet, but maybe we'll find out. But the ohavo, the father who truly loves his son, shicharo musar. Shicharo either can mean he makes him shachar, he darkens him, with musar, with admonishment, or even with discipline. Sometimes musar means from yisurim, from affliction, that he disciplines his child through the right amount of affliction. Or it can mean shicharo could be like shachar, he awakens him with admonition. There has to be some discipline in life. But how do we understand this? So the Midrash tells us that if someone will enact an act of violence, of force against our child, we're going to react, we're going to be quite livid about it. Banoik Shaba'olam, the normal way of the world is, Odom Sha'omer Lechaveroi, Ploini Hika Levincha, if I will tell, I'm a person, and you tell me, you're my friend, and you tell me, so-and-so struck your child. didn't have my permission. Who was he to strike my child? He should maybe tell me about it, but not strike my child. So Yeridimayad Lachayev. If I hear someone struck my child, I'm going to go after that guy until his life, like you'd say in Yiddish, bizgor, until as far as I could get to him. I'm going to go after him. So if I care for my child, that I wouldn't want any act, physical act done to my child, so what does it mean that if I spare my rod, I hate him? I don't want my kid getting struck. So, what does Proverbs, what does King Solomon, Shlomo HaMelech, teach us by saying that the one who spares his rod despises his child? What does that mean? So he says, it doesn't mean that he hates him now. It's planting seeds that might one day nurture reasons that a father could hate his child. How so? L'lamedcha, it teaches you, shekol ha-mineya b'noi min ha-mardus, if one abstains, if one holds his child back, he represses, as you would say, his child from punishment. So, b'ol l'sar b'surah v'seineyu, if a child is not disciplined when he should be, the end is he will go out literally to a bad culture and the father will despise his son, at least on some level. And there are precedents for this. Shekein Motzino bi Yishmael. We find Yishmael, who had a father like Avraham Avinu. Shehayu lo gaguim al Avraham Avinu v'lo yirido. He was a spoiled child, as it were, to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu didn't discipline him, or didn't discipline him properly. He was a child after so many decades of marriage. He had a child, and Avraham Avinu kind of let him get a little spoiled, but not just spoiled that he gave him a few lollipops, too many. He spoiled him by letting him do whatever he wanted. Some of what he wanted wasn't so good. So v'yotzel l'sar b'srot, and Yishmael went out in a bad culture. V'sanohu, Yaakov Avinu despised him when he was told to send him away. V'hoitziyoy mi beisei reikom, he sent him out of his house empty. There wasn't that much water. The water ran out pretty quickly in the desert. There wasn't that much water. He sent him without any real possessions. He just, avegeshikt, he sent away his son. Hashem said, send him away. That was a mandate from God that you cannot show favoritism to your son. You can't show him too much love. He's a bad influence on Yitzchak. Out he went. So, me'osa Yishmael kishahoya ben tesvav shanim. What did Yishmael himself do when he was 15, or according to the Rashash, it should say 16, because he was 13 when he had his bris. A year later, at age 14, Yitzchak was born. And then it says that Yitzchak was weaned, and that was when 2 years later. So now Yishmael is 16. And then right after that, it says that Sarah saw that the way he behaved with Yitzchak was not appropriate. So he was about 16 years old. Here it says 15, and Rashash says it should have said 16, with the argument we just gave. But anyway, Yishmael, whether it's like the text 15, or as the Rashash points out, it should be 16. What did he do then? Full-fledged teenager. Hischil lohavi tselem min hashuk. He began by bringing an idol from the marketplace. He would play in it and serve it the way he would see by others. Now, obviously, in his own home, Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu, and even his own biological mother, Hagar, didn't behave in this fashion of playing out some type of a service or servitude to a deity, to an idol. He picked it up, seeing it in other places, which means he was peeking maybe where he should not have peeked. He went and saw what goes on in places that are undesirable. So, what happened? So Miad immediately Sarah took notice. That's the mothers are able to see that sometimes better than fathers. Vatera Sarah Spenogar Mitzus Asher Yolda Lavro Mitzachik. Sarah saw the son of the Egyptian Hagar, i.e. Ishmael, that she gave birth to Avram, Avram's child from Hagar. She saw him mitzachek. He was laughing. Now, what's wrong about laughing? Hopefully, we'll leave the shiur with a laugh too. What's wrong with a laugh? So he says that the word mitzachek over there in that context, and Rashi brings it in Chumash on that posuk, ein mitzachek ella avodas kechavim. Mitzachek hirshbilen means avodah zarah. Now, how do I know that? Kamada Tamar, it says, by the Jewish people, or basically the Erev Rav, when they made the golden calf, the eagle, vayakumu litzachek, they got up to laugh. So sometimes the word laugh denotes avodah zarah. Immediately, miyad, vatomer la Avram, she said to Avram, drive out this maiden and her son. Shema yilmad bini or choisav. Perhaps lest my son learn his ways, he's got to go. Miad immediately, vayera hadofer moid bini Avram. The matter was very bad, harmful in the eyes of Avram. Now, what was bad? Al shiyotza l'sar busra. Because his son is going out following an evil culture. And that to him was worse, the Meforshim bring, than any other pain he had. That a son of his is going out and doing the wrong thing, in the wrong way. Now the Rashash here points out also a very correct point, that how does the Pasuk know to say it was very bad, these words were bad in the eyes of Avram, to say chase out, drive away my son. Now she said drive away the mother, Hagar, and the son. And it only says to Avram it was bad about sending away the son. And later on, God said to him, it shouldn't be bad to you to send out the boy and his mother. So that means that the mother also bothered Avram, but the Pasuk says it was only bothering him about Yishmael. So that's why the Midrash says that in this first Pasuk, what was bad in Avram's eyes was about Yishmael. Of course, driving them out was not what bothered him solely about Yishmael. That was about Hagar as well as Yishmael. And that comes in the next Pasuk when Hashem speaks to him. So he was concerned that, and it was bad for him to hear about Yishmael's misbehavior. Then the next pasuk it brings, Vayomer Elokim el Avram, Hashem said to Avram, Al yira beinecha, al anar v'al amasecha, it shouldn't be bad in your eyes about the child and your maidservant. So this already Sarah perceived, and Avram didn't. So here is also something Rashi brings on that pasuk. Mitan kana tolomed, from here you learn shehoya Avram tofel l'sara bin nevius. Over here, from here you learn that Avram was less than Sarah in prophecy. Now, the simple question is, how is that so compelling? I mean, does it mean that she was on a higher level? I mean, there's no evidence of that, because she might have seen something that Avram didn't see. Mothers are more prone to see the behavior of children than fathers. So what she told him was fact. He might have felt that this did not warrant banishing a son, and she felt it does warrant it. And God said, well, in this case, follow her. But how does that prove that her prophecy was greater? That's something that bothered me from my childhood yet. So the truth is, over here, the Yefei Tohar says, it doesn't really mean that Sarah's level of prophecy was higher than Avram's. Because it would have said Avram was less than Sarah, but it says he was tofel, he was subordinate to Sarah. So what does that mean? And he says, you can't say that Avram, that Hashem is always talking to him, is going to be less than Sarah. But what it means is that even Avram Avinu, who needed prophecy, had to, after her words, go and ask God to see if he's right or she's right. So once she told him something, his prophecy was subordinated to her words. That's how the Yefei Tohar says. It's a little hard to fit that into the wording of the Midrash, but it's a very interesting pshat. It doesn't mean he was inferior to her in prophecy, but when he heard that she said something that differed from his opinion, he said, not that he said, well, I'm the man, I'm the boss, we're going to do it my way. He said, she has her logic, I have to consult God. So he went to his prophecy out of subordination to her. He was tuffel to her in his own nevius. He came to his prophecy by subordinating himself to her. That's what the Yefei Tohar says. It's a big chiddush in pshat to say something like that. And then, yeah. So, she was able to know instinctively or cleverly what God wanted without the prophecy. That's where he was subordinate to her in the prophecy. He needed prophecy for what she knew without prophecy. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a very good way of putting it, yeah. Yeah. If she saw a red flag, Avraham Avinu said, gotta consult the higher authority. That's right. That's what comes out here. It's a tremendous pshat. But it explains, I mean, because there's no real evidence that she had prophecy that he didn't have. But what we do have evidence is that if she disagreed, he did consult Hashem. That you do see. Yes? I thought you were going to say something. But, So what happened? He had the word from Hashem to send out Yishmael and his mother Miad immediately. Vayashkim Avram Baboiker, Avram Atzachuf Kishtan in Gorfri. He got up very early. Vayikach Lechem, he took some bread, Vechem Asmayim, and a canteen of water. Not too much. Lulamdoch, it teaches you, Shehoya Sinei Liyisrael, Liyishmol rather, Al Sheyotza Lusar Busra, that he already developed a hatred to Yishmael for going out into a bad culture. Now, that's important in general to know. There's a distinction. There are two ways of levels of hatred. One is an emotional hatred. I hate his guts or whatever. And then there's a time, I think he's a nice person, or I have a connection, I like him, but I hate the way he is living. Now, Avraham Avinu did not despise Yishmael in the first level. I hate his guts. Because later in Akedas Yitzchak, Rashi brings the Midrash that Hashem said to Avram, take your son. So he said, well, I have two sons. So Hashem said, Es Yechidcha, your only son. So he said, well, they're both only childs to their mothers. So then Hashem said, Asher Hahafta, the one that you loved. And Avraham Avinu says, Eshneim ani ohev, I love them both. Now this is already après this incident. This is after the incident where we just said Avraham Avinu despises Yishmael. And he said, well, I love them both equally. So then Hashem told him, Yitzchak. But what does that mean? It means that there are two levels of hatred that are totally different. One is a personal hatred. I dislike the person on a personal level, and that the Torah forbids. Lo sisnasach icha b'levavecha, in your heart, in your emotion, you're not allowed to emotionally dislike somebody. Now, what will be, however, if we see that someone did a sin and we can't do anything about it? We're the only ones who saw it. We can't testify in a beis din. We can't do anything effectively about it. And if we talked about it, it's lashon hara, according to the din of the Gemara. The Chafetz Chaim brings it in a sefer. So that's a level of hatred that's permissible. If a person did an aveira that we knew, that they knew better and shouldn't have done, we're permitted to dislike them. And that's a pasuk. It says, Kisira chamor sonacha. If you see the donkey of your sone, of your enemy, meaning of the one that you despise. So how do you despise him? The Gemara asks in the last chapter of Psachim. It says, Lo sisna sachicha b'levavecha. You're not allowed to hate anybody. So it says, the case is, I saw him do an aveira. I know he knew better, but I'm the only one who saw it happen, and I can't testify, and there's nothing effective that I can do. So then the Torah said we're allowed to dislike him. So I would assume if we projected that thought over here, that's what it means too. Avram Avinu remained loving Yishmael. That was his son. And it's like Rabbi Yisrael Salanter writes somewhere, in Or Yisrael, or it's written in his name, if you have a student who's very close to you, but he's not your son, and you learn with him all the time, and you also have a son who has no connection to your intellectual or spiritual level. He just doesn't learn a word. But if a fire breaks out, who are you going to check out first? Your biological son or your student? The nature is you're going to go check out your biological son first. Maybe someone who heard this despite will do the opposite. But the natural inclination would be you go after your natural biological son. And that level of Ava, Avram Avinu, and plus a lot more probably being Avram Avinu, was a lot more to the extent, my biological son Yishmael, Yitzchak, there's no difference. I don't know who you mean. And he wasn't, with God, he wasn't bluffing. You can't tell God you don't know what you mean when you do know what he means. To God, you don't get away from that. That wouldn't be perpetuated in the Torah. So Hashem had to tell him Yitzchak. So this hatred is not that level of emotional hatred. This is a permissible hatred. When you know someone who knew better is going out and allowing himself to be ill-influenced, you're allowed to despise him. There's a chiddush also, Lahalocha in the Tumim, is one of the main svarim on Choshen Mishpat, says that you're allowed to say testimony about someone whom you despise for those reasons. If you have a personal hatred, you're not allowed to say testimony about someone. But if you have nothing, you know, I mean, you have to know that it's not personal. Assuming I would know nothing personal, he's my friend, but I'm not happy with how he lives, I'm not happy with what he did, and I hate that, I'm still allowed to testify about the person. Yes? Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes, that's what we're distinguishing. He rubs me wrong. I hate him, or he told me something I didn't like, and I develop a grudge against him, and I try to do things that are not good. I make a grumpy face when his name comes up, or I don't have a good word to say about him. Those are personal hatreds, and that disqualifies the relationship between people. There can't be objectivity, but if I have none of that in me, and I just feel the person is doing the wrong things, then I still have enough objectivity that I'm allowed to even testify. That's in the Achronim, the Tumim. Rabbi Yonis and Eipshitz in the Sefer Urim V'Tumim on Choshen Mishpat has such a chiddush. So that's the level of the hatred we're talking about, is because he was way below par, willingly way below par in his spiritual performance or lack thereof. That's the hatred that's over here. So because of that, he had to act toward him in a way that showed disapproval. He didn't exactly get him for a first-class seat. He sent Vishalacho hu v'imo hagar reikam. He sent them away empty, utrodoi mi beisei al kach, and he troubled him to go away from his house. He didn't give him a chance, as we say, einzusparen sein valiskes, you'd say in Yiddish, to lock his valises, his suitcases. He didn't give him that chance. He sent them with close to nothing. So how could that be? So the Midrash says, how would you even imagine Avraham Avinu, who was so wealthy, and he gave everything away, shared everything with others, is sending his own child and a wife of his away with nothing? V'chisala al taitcha, would it ever occur to your mind? She'avram, about Avram Avinu, she'kosov boy, v'avram kaved moid ba'mikne, etc. Avram was very laden with cattle and with other things that are listed in the pasuk. He would send his wife and child from his home empty, with nothing, with no clothing, with no sustenance, just very limited sustenance, no big money. Ella, rather, why did Avraham Avinu do this? Totally uncharacteristic of him. L'lamedcha, it shows you, it teaches you. Kevan sheyotza l'sar b'sro l'nifne olav. Once Yishmol went out to an evil, a negative culture, Avraham Avinu didn't give any attention to him. But what was the end of Yishmael? Yishmael came to this because Avraham Avinu apparently didn't keep a good enough eye on him and didn't discipline him. That's how we started this. So Meho Yosofo, what was the end of Yishmael's life? Kishe Girsho. Once he was banished from Avraham Avinu, what happened? So Yoshav Befarashas Drochim, he would sit at the crossroads. He had a loaded gun, I guess. I guess gun control didn't restrain him. Or bow and arrow control didn't restrain him. Vahoya Malastim Esabrios, he would rob people. Anyone who came along who had a few, whatever money they were carrying, it became Yishmael's. Shenemar, as it says, the prophecy that his own mother was told in Lech Lecha by the king at Ber Lachai Roi. Vehu yiyeh pera adam. He is going to be a wild beast of a man. His hand will be against everyone. He will assault others. He will rob others. But that's not the only precedent. We find the same indictment against Yitzchak Avinu. Kayotzi bo, similar, Vayehav Yitzchak Esesav, Yitzchak Lavdesav, Leficha Yotza L'sar Busra, Al Asher Leirido. Therefore, Esav ended up going into a bad culture because Yitzchak didn't discipline him enough. Had Yitzchak given him the right dose of discipline, a little D.O.D., dose of discipline, it could very well be, I mean, that only God could know, the Chazal could relay that to us, Esav would have been a different person. Kemoshe Shaninu, like we learned, as to how far Esav went. Famous Brisa, brought in the Gemara as well, that in Bava Basra, Chomei Shaveris Ovar Esav Harasha Baisei Hayim. That day when Yaakov Avidu took the birthright from Esav for a pot of lentils, that was in the background of the above. Esav did 5 major sins at that time. Bo al Naira Hamurasa, he had relations with a girl who was betrothed. She received kiddushin from someone, so she's a married woman. Also, Horeg HaSanefesh, he killed someone, according to Midrashim, he killed Nimrod at that time, but he didn't have to. And V'chofar B'tchiyas HaMeisim, he said, I'm going to die, what do I need the birthright? So he denied the rejuvenation of the dead. V'chofar B'ikar, he also denied the main faith of God. You can believe in God and not believe in the next world. Of course, that's inadequate in the way we look at things, but he denied God too, because he basically showed that the entire birthright, the blessings of God, meant nothing. Uvisa sabachora, that the Torah says that he showed that he had no respect for the bechora. Va'od, besides that, sheteyev misas aviv. In addition, so far we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But va'od in addition, meaning later on, after that day, tov misas aviv. He wanted his father to die. He said, "Let my father die, and then I'll go kill my brother." Uvikish l'arugas achiv, as it says in pasuk Yikruvu Yimeiv Elavi. Let the days of the mourning of my father, Dernan Tarzach, let them get closer. And then, Argos Yaakov Achi, I'll kill my brother Yaakov. That's what it says. V'goram li'Yaakov l'forach mi'avoso. Because of that fierce animosity, he caused Yaakov Avinu to flee from his fathers. Avram was still alive, but Yitzchak was in the house of Avram, so he ran away from Yitzchak, it's from the house of his fathers. V'holachafu eitzel Yishmael, then Esav wanted a more advanced course in how to do things in the evil way. So he even went to Yishmael, lilmod mimenu tarbus ra, to learn the bad culture. He sought a negative role model. Ulahoysef al Noshav, and to get more such evil wives for the way Yishmael did. Shenemar, it says Vayelech Esav el Yishmael. Esav went to Yishmael. So here it talks about that we have to be on top of our kids, and even if we're such great tzaddikim like the Ovis, we see if we don't do that end of our job, we might end up with very regrettable or regretful circumstances. Yeah. Not only that, not only do they go away from the derech, they will search negative role models as well. That's what comes out from here. Okay, I think we have to stop.